Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Generation Slay, the podcast where I interview the Gen Z creators, innovators, and entrepreneurs who are absolutely slaying it in their fields. I am your host, Emma Havakorst. I am a recent college graduate. I graduated from Fordham University with a Bachelor's of Science in Marketing, a minor in digital technology and emerging media, and a concentration in strategic branding, which is a mouthful to say that I love the internet, and I love working on the internet, specifically marketing and branding companies on the internet. That's my pitch for people listening who may be able to hire me, because in case you haven't noticed, there's 40 million people who are also looking for jobs. This is a fun time to have graduated. But luckily, I have this wonderful space where I talk at you, but actually just at the wall of my bedroom, hoping that someone, you, is on the other side listening. And, you know, I've been getting some wonderful feedback lately. Some people have been messaging me saying that they were just listening to my podcast. I've been seeing some great little reviews come in. Wonderful growth on our social channels. So I know you guys are out there. I know you are listening. And I just want to tell you, I could not be more grateful for you as a community. You know, I mentioned last week, but we started a little Discord channel and we've been having some cute little pop-up conversations here and there just about, you know, what shows we're watching, what we've been up to during Quar, just all the usual day-to-day conversations we would be having, you know, if we were in classes or actually in person at our internships that just aren't happening right now. So I wanted to create a little space to do that. That's a little more conversational than an Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn is. So if you want, you can hop over to that Discord to chit chat with me and some other incredible Gen Slayers who are over there chatting away. I don't want to take too long today because I feel like my intros have just been getting longer and longer and longer as I am in self-isolation longer and longer and longer. And, you know, it really shows, I think, in the level of, you know, I guess lack of script that there is and just more and more rambling on my end. But I just need you all to know, like, you can fast forward. It gives me comfort. It makes my week. So thank you for theoretically being there and listening to my monologues. Our guest this week is amazing. I do have to give a disclaimer before I even jump into her bio that she is in the Philippines and was when we did the interview. So it was 6:30 a.m. and I'm not a morning person. So if my voice sounds like I have a cold, it's literally just raspier because I just woken up. So, you know, obviously it's worth it for the interview always. And it was such a wonderful conversation. It was literally the best thing I could have ever done to start my morning. It was so invigorating. And I hope, you know, maybe you're listening to this in the morning as well. Hopefully maybe on the day of the week it comes out, Tuesdays. We love a good Tuesday morning release. And hopefully it has that same invigorating power and energy for you. So today's conversation is with Audrey Pei. Audrey is the founder and executive director of WeTech, which stands for Women in Technology. WeTech is a nonprofit organization that aims to educate, inspire, and empower youth to make a difference and break gender barriers using technology. So through WeTech, Audrey has been working on projects at the intersection of technology and education since she founded it at age 15. She founded this international nonprofit at age 15. Crazy. She's now 18 and she's currently on a gap year before heading to Stanford in the fall, where she plans on majoring in science, tech, and society. So Audrey's work with WeTech has actually garnered her some incredible recognition and all obviously so incredibly deserved. She was a 2019 Global Teen Leader, a 2018 Zonta Young Women in Public Affairs District Awardee, a 2019 Zonta Women in Tech Asia Pacific District Scholar. I mean, it goes on and on. She's been featured in both local and international publications. She works so hard for a future where youth, regardless of their gender or their socioeconomic status, have access to technology and are able to embrace their potential to use technology and develop technology for social good. Our conversation is absolutely incredible. We touch on so many important issues like, you know, entering the STEM field as a woman and, you know, trying actively to break down those gender barriers, how to gain access to the right mentors and to build those relationships that'll support you. It's so incredible. It's so educational. And Audrey is truly so inspiring to me. So I know for a fact that she will be for you as well. So without further ado, let's hop into the interview. Enjoy.
Hi, Audrey. It is so, so exciting to have you on Generation Slay today. And just to kick things off right now, can you give me, and more importantly, the audience, just a little insight into who you are and what you do?
No problem. Thank you for having me on your podcast, Emma. So my name is Audrey Pe. I am 19 years old, and I am the founder and executive director of WeTech, which is short for Women in Technology. We are a youth-led nonprofit that aims to educate, inspire, and empower youth to break gender barriers and use tech to make a difference in society. I'm also an incoming college freshman at Stanford University this fall. My major is undecided, but I'm leaning potentially towards something interdisciplinary like science, tech, and society. So I was born and raised here in Manila, Philippines, and that's where I'm calling in from today.
Amazing. So I just want to start with WeTech, which is such an incredible organization. I know you obviously very quickly mentioned it. It's youth-led, it's a nonprofit, and it's focusing on breaking down those gender barriers in technology. Could you talk to me a little bit about when you founded WeTech, why, what was like the mission behind it, and what really pushed you to start it?
WeTech comes from a really personal place, honestly, and the journey of starting this nonprofit is very much linked to how I first got interested in tech. And for me, the story really starts in middle school. So here in the Philippines, we don't have a national tech curriculum in which, you know, we're required to take computer science. And instead, we have this computer class, and I had to take it in middle school, and this computer class wasn't programming at all. It was how to use Microsoft Office, specifically like Word and Excel, and I honestly didn't find that so exciting until one day my teacher went completely off curriculum and decided to introduce us to this game where a snake had to navigate a maze using blocks that represented lines of code. And I remember in that instance, I was so excited because I realized that the apps, websites that my peers and I pretty much relied on a daily basis at that point were made using code. And I had this idea that maybe one day, you know, I could make my own apps and websites if I learned this skill of computer programming. I asked my teacher after that game if we would be learning more about programming in class. And she said that because it isn't part of the Philippine computer curriculum, we wouldn't be touching the topic further. But she said online there were a lot of free tutorials that I could look into. And that's exactly what I did for the rest of middle school and early high school. When I wasn't studying or in clubs, I would literally Google free computer science tutorials. And I found these amazing free websites like code.org, Codecademy. And I taught myself, you know, basics of HTML, JavaScript, that sort of thing. Fast forward to high school, start being asked this very scary question, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? What course do you want to take? And especially here in the Philippines, we're expected very early to specialize and say, okay, we want to go into STEM or humanities or business management, because in our curriculum, by 11th grade, you have to pick like a specialized track that's literally like the STEM, humanities, accountancy, business management track. So I started going around and saying that I wanted to go into STEM and particularly pursue something like computer science in college. To that, I received a lot of mixed responses, especially from my teachers. My peers, on the other hand, said that they were really surprised because in my grade, in ninth grade at that time, I was the only girl that wanted to go into CS and one of two girls that wanted to go into STEM, the other wanting to be a doctor. The guys in my grade also told me that they didn't know I was into video games because to them, pursuing CS automatically meant video games. Whereas to me, I was really interested in asking questions about the social impact of technology, how to utilize tech for social good. But the hardest feedback really came from a teacher that told me that she couldn't imagine me being a good fit in tech. So she said that in Filipino, and basically that very much lowered down my self-confidence as a 14-year-old girl that wanted to pursue a career in technology. After some thought, I realized that I also had trouble imagining myself being successful in tech. I kind of agreed with that teacher because I couldn't actually name any women in technology, much less Filipina women in technology. And that's what really catalyzed my quest to look for these role models in tech when I didn't have any in my immediate community. I would literally Google women in technology, read about these stats, about the gender gap, not just locally, but internationally. Here in the Philippines, it's quite similar to the US in that only 18% of startups here are founded by women. And internationally, I also read that women in tech are paid 18 to 22% less than their male counterparts. So just reading those stats, I got, instead of being discouraged from going into tech, I actually got really angry. And I thought, okay, this is what tech looks like. These are the inequalities that women face. What can I, as a 15-year-old teenage girl, do to help close these inequalities so that when I get into the workplace, hopefully they won't be as bad for me and my generation and future ones to come. And that's what really launched the idea of starting WeTech.
I love that backstory. I really hate that people were so judgmental and so critical, especially just because, you know, at such a young age, people are so impressionable and their self-esteem and their plans can be so affected. So, you know, you definitely had this probably not very unique experience of having people push back on what your dreams were and question them. And I love that instead of just, you know, taking that lying down and accepting it, you did push back, you did question it, you did research, and inevitably you founded this organization. And so I read that you founded WeTech at 15, which is incredibly young. How did you learn at that age how to even launch a nonprofit, how to organize? Where did you get that information? Because I have no idea how I would find that now, much less how I would have found it when I was in ninth grade.
Yeah, it was definitely such a crazy journey looking back because, as you said, like, young people are really impressionable, and I could have easily just given up on tech because all of these external factors were telling me that it wasn't going to be a good fit for me or that I wouldn't be equally paid, you know? And just those factors and combined with my stubbornness really got me thinking, I need to do something. And I didn't just wake up one day and think, oh, I'm going to start a nonprofit. To me, it was just, given the resources that I have, what can I do to help solve this problem in my community? And my favorite resource, the go-to platform for all my problems, is honestly Google. So I literally, once I would look up women in tech and women in tech statistics, I saw a lot of LinkedIn profiles of women in technology, Instagram profiles as well. And I saw that these women were kind of self-promoting their stories. And I thought, okay, like, why not reach out to these women, cold message them, cold email them, and ask if I could interview them for what was then the WeTech blog. So before we were a nonprofit, we were a blog that highlighted the stories of women in tech from around the world. And these women, I literally just have, actually most of them I've never met in real life. And I would just cold message, cold email them. And it would usually go like, hi, my name is Audrey, I'm 15, I am being discouraged from pursuing tech, but I really want to find role models. Would you be willing to answer these questions about how you overcame obstacles in tech? What inspires you? And I'll write it up into this inspirational blog post for WeTech. And that's what really, I think, kickstarted the transformation of WeTech from a blog into an community organization. Because after writing all these articles throughout 10th grade and early 11th, I started thinking, okay, like, what more can we do? Because it's nice that WeTech was slowly gaining, you know, online traffic. We were getting more subscribers, more followers. But if people are just being inspired by this content, nothing's going to actually change in terms of the problem itself, the lack of representation of women in tech, unless we get the inspiration being turned into action. It reminds me of what's happening right now with the climate action movement, in that we can see people posting these really nice Instagram stories or going on the climate marches, but unless, like, we have people change their day-to-day habits and lifestyles to become more eco-friendly or sustainable, there isn't going to be actual change in terms of the problem itself. So that idea, like, how to turn inspiration into action, is what led WeTech to become more than just a blog and now a nonprofit that has hosted the first Women in Tech conference for students and by students in the Philippines, that supports and centers around celebrating women in tech. So getting that experience of organizing an event, like, of course, it was scary to go out there and say, like, okay, we're going to host, like, the first student-led Women in Tech conference. And that came from, that initiative really came from a lot of research and just going to networking events, attending tech conferences where usually I was the only teenager in the room and one of very few women. And really, I think it, like, looking back, it really is crazy how fast and how different, like, WeTech has developed throughout the years. And I really chalk up most of this progression to me going online and talking to different professionals and going to these different networking opportunities, not caring that I was the only, like, young person there. So I think it was a very DIY, non-linear path, but it's what really got WeTech to where it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of looping back to that idea of conferences and turning inspiration into action, which is such a powerful message. Once again, I have the same question, which is, besides attending other conferences and seeing how they're run, how did you learn about the technicalities of hosting a conference? How did you learn, you know, the behind the scenes, the operations, how to get people to come, how to get an event space? Where and how did you learn all those things? Was it, again, Google, or did you reach out to people who had hosted conferences before? This is so interesting to me because these are not easy things that you've just, you know, taken initiative and done.
Yeah, definitely not easy, the whole conference planning process. And looking back, a lot of my experience planning that conference came from this other organization that I had worked with during 8th grade and early 9th grade. So I was already, you know, doing these computer science tutorials at home, and an older friend of mine told me about her other friend's organization that hosts, like, pitching competitions and hackathons here in Manila. And she got me in touch with this friend of hers, and I started volunteering. And next thing you know, I was helping write the program flows, emailing speakers, hosting some hackathons and pitching competitions at some point. And those little things, I think, really accumulated into me having a good, I think, vision for what a woman in tech conference would look like and feel like. Because from those tech conferences that I had volunteered at a very young age, I was able to see kind of what was behind the curtain. I was able to see what it takes to look for a speaker, how you're supposed to contact them and get them, like, a thank you token, like, those little things. I learned from just really volunteering, attending different events. And when I had questions, I think I was very fortunate to have kind of that online network that I had developed through simply cold emailing and cold messaging a lot of women in tech. Like, the early features at WeTech all the way back from like 2016. Like, I'm still in touch with a lot of the women that I interviewed back then, and they always tell me that whenever I need advice or just have any questions that have to deal with things like starting Women in Tech Mixers or anything related to events or research, they're always there for me. And they've become kind of this second community that I have outside of WeTech specifically, and they've become advisors almost that have really helped in shaping kind of these events and really knowing what to do. But besides those things, like besides the network that I formed online and the experiences I've had hosting like and organizing hackathons and pitching competitions, like Google has been my number one go-to resource. And that literally I'd be Googling things like how to write a memorandum of agreement, sample program flows, like those things I've been able to pick up. And I think it's a very important skill to have right now, especially in this digital age, how to look for information and how to really synthesize it from what you get online, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely makes sense. And it's so impressive that you've done so much and you've learned how to combine all this information and make such an incredible organization, such incredible events. And it's just, it's so impressive to me. I want to touch on this, you know, group of kind of mentors that have developed from the original reaching out for advice and information. Is there any particular piece of advice or a few pieces of advice that you've gotten or learned from them that you think have been very crucial within your life or are just super important for other young women who are interested in pursuing STEM industries to learn about?
Ooh, I really love this question because a specific interview I did comes to mind immediately. And this one was with Allison Falk, who is a former UX developer from Pittsburgh. And she just finished her master's in cybersecurity a couple of weeks ago, actually. And Allison, at the time I interviewed her, was doing UX work, but also being a part-time model. So she, to hear her story at 15, broke a lot of misconceptions I had about the tech industry. Because at that point, in 10th grade, I thought that, you know, to fit in and be successful in tech, you had to look a lot like, you know, Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg, or those basically like middle-aged white dudes who are really, you know, making the headlines in tech. And Allison really taught me to not tamper down my femininity just to feel like I would fit in tech. She taught me that you could be a successful woman in tech and, you know, dress however you want to. And to hear that at such that message at such a young age, that femininity and being skilled at tech aren't mutually exclusive, was so, so important, because she really taught me that going into tech shouldn't be like trying to follow somebody else's path. It should be carving it out for your own journey and making it your own kind of story. So Allison is the first person that really came to mind when you asked about people that really, really shaped me that I interviewed at WeTech. But Allison is just really one of, I think, over 30 interviews that we've already published on the WeTech blog. And it's really exciting, and I think it's really powerful that these women still up until today, even though I interviewed them back in like 2016, 2017, still very much support and recommend interviewees for the blog. So it's almost a cycle really that has shaped this community.
Yeah, that, I mean, that is so powerful. And I think it really proves how much of an amazing thing you've built that, you know, they're not only willing to help, and they were at the very beginning, and to speak with you and to give you advice and tell you about their experience, but they're here for the long haul. They're sticking around. That's very, very reflective of how you've built such an incredible organization. So we unfortunately are running out of time and have to wrap up. But before I let you go, can you tell everyone where they can find you online, where they can find WeTech online, just so they can follow you and keep you updated with, or keep updated with everything you do?
Definitely, definitely. So to connect with WeTech, we are at WeTech.org, so WITech.org on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Personally, my social media links for all those sites are Audrey Isabel Pe. So that's AudreyIsabelPe. I post a lot there about kind of the behind the scenes stuff that goes on with WeTech, what it's like running a nonprofit at 19, and kind of this gap year that I'm on. I realized I didn't get to mention that. I actually took a gap year to pursue projects with WeTech, and I'm in the midst of wrapping up my gap year. So if you want to connect with me, ask any questions about gap years, starting a nonprofit, women in STEM, I'm more than happy to discuss those things. And if you have any more questions about how to get involved with WeTech, our email is info@wetech.org.
Incredible. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day today to be on Generation Slay. It's been such a pleasure, and you are such an inspiration to me, and I'm sure so many others. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Emma. This is has been so much fun. Like, the time just flew by.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Generation Slay. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your, I'm sure, very busy schedule to tune in. And I hope you'll take a quick sec to subscribe so that we'll see you on the episode next week. And, you know, if you liked it, pop down to the review and leave a little comment, leave a hopefully 5-star review. It's super, super helpful on my end, just because, you know, the more reviews I have, the more it gets pushed out on podcast platforms to other wonderful Gen Slayers who would definitely, definitely learn and gain so much from hearing these interviews. So by leaving a review, by subscribing, you know, you're helping a girl out and you're helping a whole other wonderful community of Gen Zers out as well. So I'm sure they'd appreciate it if you did it too. Until next week, I would love to see you over on our social channels at Generation Slay everywhere. You'll see some fun motivational content. You'll see some activism now because of the world we live in. And hopefully you'll see some wonderful Instagram story takeovers, Q&As, days in a life from our amazing guests. So if you want to see any of that, pop on over to our socials, and I'll see you next week. Bye!